You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. So let's get ready for Rick and part one of a message called, How Did the World Get So Messed Up?
Not everything in the world is good. Not everything in the world is happy. Not everything in the world is beautiful. In fact, real evil does exist in the world. You can pick up any kind of newspaper. You start going through it, you're going to find out that in the international section, you're going to find terrorism and war and genocide. You go through the national section, you're going to find political payoffs and lies and scams and churches set on fire. You go through the local section, you're going to find rapes and abuse and murder and arson. You go through the business section, you're going to find scandals, you're going to find fraud, graft, embezzlement. You go through the sports section, you'll find drug use, illegal gambling, adultery. You go through the entertainment section and find too many scandals and sin to even mention. No rational person can really deny that evil, real evil, exists in this world. Now, we're in this series on worldview, seeing the world and seeing my life as it really is. Not as we'd like it to be, but as it really is. And we're looking at six major questions. We've already looked at first week, does it really matter what I believe? And we talked about the sincerity myth, that it's not enough to say, well, as long as you're sincere, you can be sincerely wrong. And then the second week, we looked at, how do I know what's really true? I mean, what are that? And we looked at the five ways you can test something to know whether it's true or not. And then last week, we looked at, who am I and where did I come from? Today, we're going to look at this fourth question, how did the world get so messed up? If you'll take out your message notes, we're going to look at four things. I want us to look at the reason it got messed up. And then we're going to look at the results, what happened to the world. Then we're going to look at God's rationale. Why did God allow it to happen? And then finally, your response. Now let's get right into it, into the reason. How did the world get so messed up? Well, the reason is this. You might write it down. We've all sinned. We have all sinned. And when we sin, it brings evil into the world. Now, what is sin? Well, sin is any attitude or any action against God. That's what it is. It's any attitude or any action against God. And when we do things that are against God or think things that are against God, it brings sin into the world and it creates evil. Now, where did it all get started? Well, it started back with the very first couple, Adam and Eve, back in the Garden of Eden. In fact, the Bible says this. Look in your outline. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. That's Adam. And with sin came what? Death. There was no death prior to this, but he said it came into the world with sin. But it didn't just stop with Adam and Eve. We've all been culprits too. The next verse, let's read it aloud. There is not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. Well, that's kind of a no-brainer. I've never met anybody who's ever claimed to be perfect. Not one. I don't measure up to my own standards, much less God's, a perfect God. I disappoint myself. I disappoint others, much less not living up to a standard of perfection. So sin is a universal problem, 100%. The Bible says all have sinned. That includes me. That includes you. It includes the Pope. It includes everybody who's ever lived. All have sinned. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says if we claim we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, if you say you've never sinned, you're just lying. Because the fact is, all of us have had attitudes and actions against God. Now, you may not understand this or have known this, but there are actually three kinds of wrongdoing in the Bible. One is called sin, one is called transgressions, and one is called iniquity. What's the difference between sins and transgressions and iniquities? Sin is actually an English term. It's actually an archery term. And it was an archery term. If you were out shooting a bow and arrow and you had a big, target that you're shooting at, and if you shot it and the arrow fell short, it missed the mark, that is called a sin. And sin literally just means falling short. It means missing the mark. You shoot an arrow toward the target, and it doesn't even get there. It falls short. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 23:23, all have sinned and fallen short. I've got a friend who's a pastor in Texas, and he was talking about this verse one time, and he said, we've all fallen short. And he said, but thank God he forgives our falling shorts. I've had a few falling shorts, too, so of both kinds. But the point here is that when we fail to meet God's purpose, if you don't fulfill God's purpose for your life, you're falling short. If there are things that God wants you to do with your life and you haven't done them, you're falling short. The Bible says we've all done this. We've all fallen short. That's called a sin. Now, the word transgression is the exact opposite. It means to go past it. It means to go, not to fall short, but to go past. Transgression means you go past the law. It means it's a deliberate, intentional, willful decision to break the law. In other words, when the law says you go 60 miles an hour and I go 80 or 90, that's a transgression. I am intentionally going past the law. You see the difference between sin and transgression? One's falling short and one is going past. And when I know that God says to do something, I say, I want to do it anyway. That's not falling short. That's going past. God has said, there are certain parameters in your life. And he says, I don't want you to do these things. And when I go past them and I break God's commandments, that's a transgression. And then the third one is the word iniquity. And iniquity actually talks about my heart. It's the attitude of my heart. It's the basic disposition to do my own thing, to wander. The Bible compares human beings often to sheep because sheep are prone to wander. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned unto his own way. In other words, everybody's done their own thing. God says, I want you to do this. And, well, I think I'll do that. And somebody else says, I think I'm going to do that. And somebody else says, we have a tendency to wander away from God. And the Bible calls that iniquity. It is my natural disposition. It's the intentions of my heart. It can be jealousy. It can be anger. It can be envy. It can be lying. It can all those kind of, it's the heart attitudes. Now, in Psalms, and actually here on the screen, Psalm 32, you can see all three words used in the same verse. I acknowledge my sin, that's the falling short to you. I did not cover up my iniquity, that's my attitude to just do my own thing. And I confessed my transgressions, that's going beyond, breaking laws. And you forgave my guilt. Now, the question to me is, why do we do this? Why do we choose to ignore God? Why do, when God made us, God loves us, God created us, we owe everything to God, why do we choose to ignore God and do our own thing? Why do you sin? Why do I sin? Well, the answer is threefold. It's your nature, it's your nurture, and it's your culture. Nature, nurture, and culture are the reasons we sin. First, nature. The Bible says, because I'm a human being, I got a human nature, which I got from Adam, the first man. And you inherited a natural tendency to do your own thing. Look at these verses up here on the screen. The Bible says, Romans 8:7, your sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It's like a little kid who doesn't want to obey their parent. I want to do my own thing, mommy. I say no. No, none of you ever had your children say no to you, right? Who taught them to say no? Nobody did. That one, they learned. That was in their nature. I want to do what I want to do. That's called human nature or sinful nature. It's the tendency to be self-centered. that when I walk into a room, I don't naturally think about what you need. I think about, what do they think of me? Well, you do too. You walk in a room, you're not automatically talking to somebody going, how can I meet this person's deepest needs? That's not automatically on your mind. What you usually think is, what can I get out of them? Or what do they think of me? You're always focused on yourself. And that's nature. It's your nature. And the Bible tells us this in Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things. What does that mean? It means that you and I have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves and believe our own lies. And we can tell ourselves it's not really a problem when it is. And it's no big deal when it is a big deal. And it'll get over it when we're not going to get over it. We have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves. You do, and I do. And that's why we need other people in our lives. That's why we need the Bible to tell us the truth, because we don't always see the truth. And just because your heart tells you to do something, your heart can be lying to you. Just because your heart tells you to do something doesn't mean it's the right thing. I've had murderers say, well, you know, my heart told me to do it. Well, your heart could be wrong. And so we have this in our nature. Then the second thing is nurture. And the truth is, you learned to sin from the people around you also. In fact, you got some good models growing up. Because did you figure this out? Your parents weren't perfect. Have you noticed that? They weren't perfect. And so you picked up some of their imperfections. And depending on the kind of family you grew up in, you learned, for instance, either to stuff your anger and be manipulative or be a martyr, or you learn to blow up with your anger and explode. You tend to be either a skunk or a turtle. Okay. Turtles pull into the shell and then they manipulate. Skunks stink up the place. And by the way, I'll tell you this, skunks usually marry turtles. Okay? It's just a fact of life. But where did you get that? Well, your nature is to automatically get upset when you're offended, obviously, and then your nurture taught you which way to do it. So nature makes you a sinner, and nurture makes you a sinner. It makes me a sinner. Okay, nobody's perfect. And then the Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good character. Have you ever seen a kid get with the wrong group in high school and go bad? Well, of course you have. Why? Because it's not just my nature to do wrong. It's when I get around other people, my nurture helps me do wrong. And other people tend to teach me to do wrong. And so I want to be cool, and I do that too. And so I learn anger, and I learn abuse, and I learn lying, and things like that. Then the third thing that helps us to easy to sin is culture. And culture, the Bible tells us, is always pulling us down. It's not pulling us up, it's pulling us down. Culture doesn't want to make you a better person, it wants to make you a selfish person. And all the advertisements said, you got to do it for yourself. You got to look out for number one. You got to do what's best for you. Forget other people. Think about what's best for you. And sin and Satan use culture to kind of, you know, get you to do the wrong things. And that's why the Bible says this in Romans 12 on the screen. Don't copy the behavior or customs of this world. I love the Phillips paraphrase that says, don't let the world squeeze you in its mold. Don't let the world squeeze you in its mold. Try to dominate your life. And so let God transform you instead. This is why we choose to sin. Now, this morning, I'm not so interested in the fact that we blow it. I mean, we all do that. My question is, what has it done to the world? Why does God allow it? And what should be my response? And that's what we're going to look at in today's message. But before we really get into it, there's another verse I want you to see, since we're talking about sin this particular Sunday. Here on the screen it says this, only those with clean hands and pure hearts will receive a blessing from the Lord. Now I want your life to be blessed. And the Bible says the key to blessing is a clean hand and a pure heart. What does that mean? You got to be perfect to be blessed? Oh, no. If you had to be perfect to be blessed, nobody would ever get blessed. What it says is you have to have clean hands and a pure heart. What's that mean? It means you've been washed. It means you've confessed. It means you've admitted to God, God, I blow it. God knows you're not going to be perfect. He just wants you to admit it. So how did the world get so messed up? Well, it got messed up with Adam, and then we've all followed in his example. Every time I sin, it damages something. Either me, another person, my relationship to God, the world, or something. Every time you do, it does that too. And that's why God doesn't want us to do it. He knows the ways that are best. So the reason the world's in a mess is because we've all sinned. Okay, we got that one down. The question then is, what's the result? And the result is this. You might write it down. We live in a fallen world. Fallen world. The Bible calls it the fall. It is a broken planet. In other words, everything on this planet has been damaged, injured, spoiled, corrupted in some way by the entry of evil into the world, which was not here before sin. There was no evil in the world. It was a perfect place. God created it perfect. But we do live in a fallen world. And a lot of people don't understand this, and that's why they ask this question all the time. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And when they ask that question, it's because they don't have the worldview. They don't understand we live in a broken planet. We live in a fallen world. And that's why they ask all, well, why is this happening? Well, it's because the world is not perfect. This is not heaven.
You know, people are being transformed by these messages. In fact, here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, no matter how bad things seem, you can always trust that God is active in your life, working things out for the good. While you are waiting, God is working. God always has your best interests at heart. He's a good God. Today, I want to give you an example from a note that I got from a young man named Tyler, who has seen how God is always there, even when circumstances seem to be their worst. Tyler wrote me, he said, you know, Rick, I haven't had a close relationship with Christ, but then several events occurred in my life all at once. First, my girlfriend broke up with me, and that was the biggest heartache that I could imagine for both of us. Then my friends left for college the same week. And third, my dad left for California to start a new job, leaving me in Ohio. All of this hit me at once, and I was a complete mess. But with guidance from others and realizing this was a scheduled appointment from God himself, I found Christ through your Daily Hope podcast. And through prayer and in going to church, I finally found the joy in my life again. And I'm a changed person. Every day now, I listen to you, Rick, and I read my daily devotional, and I look at life with a whole new perspective. You know, before I was living for me, I wasn't living for God. But this journey has been so amazing. God is so good. And the best part is that I can wake up every day knowing that he loves me and will listen to me and that Jesus Christ will take my worries from me. I'm so thankful, Rick, that God woke me up and changed me into a better and healthier person than I am today. And I'm thankful for my Savior, Jesus Christ. So God bless you. Well, thanks, Tyler. Thanks for writing that encouraging letter. You have experienced firsthand how much God cares for you, even in the smallest details of your life. And through this, what was a very difficult season, he led you to Jesus, the greatest gift you could ever receive. So did you know that the Bible says in Luke 15, right now all of heaven is rejoicing because you're a part of God's family? The Bible says they have a party in heaven every time one person steps across the line. And what that means is that you and I are now brothers. Did you know that? We're brothers in Christ. And your church family are your brothers and sisters here to walk alongside you. So, Tyler, welcome to the family of God. And as you grow in your faith, staying connected with a strong church community is so, so important. I want you to surround yourself with people who will encourage you in the Lord, who will pray for you, who will help you stay strong in your journey with Jesus. And just watch and see how God moves in your life as you faithfully follow him into your future. By the way, you also mentioned that you listened to the Daily Hope podcast. For anybody who hasn't checked that out yet, it is completely free. It's completely available on all major platforms. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. It's on wherever you get your podcast. You can also listen anytime by just going to PastorRick.com on the internet. Now, friends, we're able to share Daily Hope with people around the world because of your generosity, listeners just like you. So let me just say here, thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for being a part of this community. Thanks for your contributions to care for other people so that they could get the Word of God and build the hope that they need. And they can keep seeking God, and He will guide them. God bless you.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.